Welcome to As It Is, a 30-minute program designed for English learners. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson. This program is aimed at English learners, so we speak a little slower, and we use words and phrases, especially written, for people learning English. We also explain words and language rules, all while bringing you stories and information from around the world.
Today, we will have stories from Mario Ritter, Bruce Alpert, Dan Friedel, and Brian Lynn. And Adam Brock will have this week's lesson in everyday grammar. But first, Japan is becoming more active in Southeast Asia. The island nation has increased investment to support economic development in the area. Japan is doing this as China has increased its economic involvement with the 10 members of the Association of Southeast Asian Nations, known as ASEAN. Japan is also becoming more involved in security issues, especially ones related to the South China Sea. Territorial disputes, Japanese officials say, need to be settled by the rule of law and without the use of force. Earlier this month, Japan announced a program to improve infrastructure in Southeast Asia over the next 3 years. The program will cost $6.8 billion. It will involve the Greater Mekong region, an area that includes parts of Cambodia, Vietnam, Laos, and Thailand. Japan's latest program for the Mekong River area follows an assistance package in 2013 that provided 2 trillion yen to ASEAN countries. Japan also supported an ASEAN program aimed at improving ties between members with a $100 million fund. Titinan Pongsudarak is a political expert from Thailand. He said China's influence has placed Japan's programs of assistance and support under pressure. He said Japan does not plan to stop long-term investments on the mainland of Southeast Asia. In March, China hosted the Lakong Mekong Corporation meeting in Hainan Province. Experts consider the meeting the latest effort by China to improve relations with Greater Mekong countries. Japan and China are also competing in finance and banking in the area. Japan has supported the Asian Development Bank for a long time. The bank has provided development funds for infrastructure in the area. However, Japan, like the United States and Canada, did not join the new Asian Infrastructure Investment Bank. China started the AIIB last year. In a speech earlier this month, Japan's Foreign Minister Fumio Kishida commented on security issues in the area. Japan is concerned over territorial disputes in the South China Sea. Japan has increased support at sea for Vietnam and the Philippines. Both countries, along with Malaysia and Indonesia, have claims that conflict with China in the South China Sea. China claims almost all of the area as its sovereign territory. Kishida said recently, peace and stability were needed for economic prosperity in the area. The foreign minister called for the establishment of a code of conduct. The aim is to settle territorial disputes over the South China Sea.
The Brazilian Senate voted on Thursday to put President Dilma Rousseff on trial for breaking budget laws by 55 votes to 22. Brazil's first woman president will be suspended for up to 180 days. Vice President Michel Temer will become acting president during her trial. Rousseff has been charged with manipulating budget accounts before her re-election in 2014. The manipulation made the country's economy appear stronger than it was. Rousseff has denied any wrongdoing. Brazil's lower chamber of Congress voted on April 17th to begin the impeachment process against Rousseff. Earlier this week, Waldir Maranhão, the acting speaker of the lower chamber of Congress, called for a new vote in the impeachment process against Rousseff. He said there were problems in the way the lower chamber voted. Maranhão himself voted against the impeachment process. However, he and Senate leader Renan Calheiros said the debate and vote would go ahead Wednesday as scheduled. The Supreme Court also rejected last-minute efforts by Rousseff and her supporters to delay the Senate vote. The impeachment process comes as Brazil is dealing with a recession, a corruption investigation of top politicians and businessmen, and an outbreak of the Zika virus. The country is set to host the Olympics in August.
An American drone maker is teaming up with United Parcel Service to transport blood and medical supplies in Rwanda. The California-based company, Zipline International, manufactures drone aircraft. The company says its drones will fly to remote Rwandan medical centers 20 times faster than any truck or motorcycle. United Parcel Service is providing a grant of $800,000 plus logistical support for the project through a donation from the UPS Foundation. Another partner is Gavi, the Vaccine Alliance, an international organization set up to provide vaccines to the world's poorest countries. Zipline recently announced plans to launch its drone delivery service in July. The company plans to fly the blood and medical supplies to 20 hospitals and health centers across Rwanda, a country of more than 11 million people. The World Health Organization says Africa has the world's highest rate of pregnancy deaths resulting from excessive bleeding. This makes the availability of blood and transfusions very important for women across the continent. The Rwandan government signed a deal to cooperate with Zipline. The government is promising to pay part of the delivery costs. The Zipline drone is different from other pilotless aircraft because it does not operate with four propellers on top. The drone is similar to a small robotic airplane with a fixed wing design, similar to commercial airliners. The drones, weighing about 10 kilograms, are launched into the sky with compressed air. They can travel at speeds of 100 kilometers an hour. Their movement can be followed with the help of global positioning system equipment. Each plane can carry up to 1.5 kilograms of materials, usually kept inside a box. The supplies are then dropped from the bottom of the drone and float down to the ground in a parachute. Each aircraft can travel up to 120 kilometers on a single flight. The head of Gavi, the Vaccine Alliance, Seth Berkley, said the method is a totally new way of delivering vaccines to children in remote areas. If successful in Rwanda, Zipline and its partners plan to expand the drone deliveries to other countries. Operating the drones in Rwanda will result in tens of thousands of flight hours. This kind of testing is currently not possible in the United States because of restrictions on drone flights. I'm Brian Lynn.
Republican presidential candidate Donald Trump and U.S. House Speaker Paul Ryan pledged to work together despite their differences after a meeting Thursday. The men said the meeting was a very positive step toward unification. Ryan, an important leader of the Republican Party, had said last week that he was not ready to endorse Trump. But now he seems more willing to work with Trump. Many Republicans expressed their concerns as Trump moved closer to being the party's presidential nominee. They said his campaign does not represent traditional Republican points of view. During the primary elections, Trump talked about deporting illegal immigrants, building a wall on the border between the U.S. and Mexico, and banning Muslims from entering the U.S. He also traded insults with other candidates, including Ted Cruz, John Kasich, and Marco Rubio during speeches and debates. Ryan said it was one of the most divisive primaries in memory. After the 45-minute meeting, Ryan called his time with Trump encouraging and productive. Both Trump and Ryan said they needed to find common ground, but it would be normal for them to have different policy ideas. Trump also met Thursday with other Republican leaders in the House of Representatives and the Senate. A national poll says Republican voters are now more open to voting for Trump. Over 60% of Republican voters are in favor of Trump. Just 2 months ago, half that number supported him. I'm Dan Friedell.
Many political and business leaders are arguing against Britain leaving the 28-nation European Union. 13 former United States officials have urged Britons to reject calls to leave the EU. In a letter, they wrote that such a move would weaken Europe and harm Britain's position in the world. The former officials once served as secretaries of state or defense or as national security advisers. Another letter from five former heads of NATO warned that Britain would lose influence if it left the EU. British voters are to decide in a special election June 23rd on whether to leave the EU. Opinion studies suggest that Britons are evenly split in opposing and supporting calls for Britain's exit, or what is being called Brexit. British Prime Minister David Cameron spoke about national security Monday. He linked the Brexit question to security and economic well-being. He said, "Can we be so sure that peace and stability on our continent are assured beyond any shadow of doubt? Is that a risk worth taking? I would never be so rash as to make that assumption." The Prime Minister said isolationism had never served Britain in the past. Cameron also said the economy would suffer if his country chooses to turn its back on the EU. He said, "The evidence is clear. We'll be better off in and poorer if we leave." Former London Mayor Boris Johnson is a Conservative member of Parliament and supports Britain leaving the EU. Johnson said the alliance had changed, not Britain, according to the Reuters news service. He denied Cameron's claim that leaving the EU would make the island nation less safe. If Britain exits the EU, many business leaders worry that London would lose its position as a major world financial center. Last month, U.S. President Barack Obama said Britain would gain little by leaving the EU. Obama used an example of negotiating trade deals. He said that if Britain were outside the EU, it would not be able to negotiate a trade deal with U.S. officials more easily. The U.K., United Kingdom, would not be able to negotiate something with the United States faster than the EU, Obama said. Nearly 80% of Britain's economy is related to service industries such as finance and insurance. Lloyd's of London is a provider of insurance services around the world. The company's chairman, John Nelson, said staying in the EU is good for his business. Last week, Japanese Prime Minister Shinzo Abe warned that his country may not be able to invest as it has in Britain if it leaves the EU. He said, "A vote to leave would make the UK less attractive as a destination for Japanese investment." Abe said about 1,000 Japanese companies are doing business in Britain, and they employ 140,000 people. He added that many companies do business in Britain because it is a gateway to the EU. I'm Mario Ritter.
A Canadian public health expert wants to delay or move the 2016 Olympics in Brazil because of the Zika threat. But for the Games, would anyone recommend sending an extra 500,000 visitors into Brazil right now, wrote University of Ottawa professor Amir Adaron for the Harvard Public Health Review. He is a biologist and lawyer who researches health issues. Zika, which is spread by mosquitoes, has been linked to birth defects, including babies born with much smaller heads than normal, and other neurological or brain problems. Opening ceremonies for the Olympics are set for August 5th in Rio de Janeiro, and the games are slated to run through August 21st. Brazil is expecting 500,000 visitors for the Olympics. Rio de Janeiro is more affected by Zika than anyone expected, making earlier reports about safety concerns outdated, Adaron said. The International Olympic Committee rejected Adaron's call to delay or move the games. It said it is working with the World Health Organization and others to limit risk. One way it plans to do this, the IOC said Thursday, is to eliminate collections of standing water near Olympic sites, where mosquitoes reproduce. It also said the Olympics will be held during Brazil's winter, when the mosquito population drops. There is no justification for canceling, delaying, postponing, or moving the Rio Games, said Richard Budget, the IOC's medical director. Adaron said the IOC cannot protect Olympic visitors from getting the Zika virus. He agreed the mosquito population likely will drop in August, but said the Zika threat won't end. The cost to Brazil of losing the games would be large. The country also faces a recession, corruption scandals, and the trial of its president, Dilma Rousseff. But those concerns don't come close to the public health issues with the Zika virus, Adaron told VOA. My wife is Brazilian, my children are Brazilian, and I'm an athlete myself, said Adaron, a cyclist. But I think that the concern can't be over sentimentality. It has to be about preventing more children from being born brain damaged and all the suffering for them and their families. The World Health Organization, or WHO, Thursday issued a statement on the Zika virus, which it says has spread to 58 nations. It did not call for moving the Olympics from Brazil, but the statement said it continues to urge pregnant women to avoid areas with ongoing Zika virus transmission. This includes Rio de Janeiro, the WHO statement said. I'm Bruce Alpert.
If you learned about grammar in school, you were probably taught to think about correct and incorrect ways of using a language. Maybe you had to unlearn some grammar patterns that you heard at home because your teacher said they were wrong. The traditional way of teaching grammar in school is called prescriptive grammar. Grammar is seen as a set of rules to follow. The rules are passed from one generation to another. Those who do not follow the rules are looked down upon as being careless or poorly educated. In America, the style of grammar used in academic, government, and professional situations is called Standard American English. There is no official government agency in the United States that makes rules for the English language. In fact, the United States does not even have an official language. Teachers usually rely on tradition and popular style guides to decide what proper grammar is. Descriptive grammar takes a different approach. Descriptive grammarians observe and analyze language as it is used in different communities. They look for rules and patterns that people follow. In descriptive grammar, there is no correct or incorrect way of using grammar. For example, a prescriptive grammarian might say, "Don't use a double negative because it is illogical." A descriptive grammarian might say, some communities use double negatives and some do not. Why is that? We'll talk more about double negatives later. Dr. Richard Epstein is a linguist at Rutgers University in Camden, New Jersey. Dr. Epstein says that most people do not understand the social and political processes behind grammar rules.
Nobody knows why we should not use ain't, or why we should not use double negatives, because the teachers teach these things as if they were just simply rules that came down from some higher power, authority, maybe God, and there's no rhyme or reason taught for what the reason is for the existence of these rules. So it seems quite boring and totally arbitrary.
Dr. Epstein says grammar rules have nothing to do with logic. Instead, they are based on social fashions, politics, and power. He gives the example of the double negative. As we mentioned on an episode of Everyday Grammar, certain types of double negative words are not allowed in standard American English. For example, I don't know nothing. The two words don't and nothing are both negative. Most Americans were taught that double negatives are illogical. In math, two negatives equal a positive. But is this true in language? Does I don't know nothing mean I know something? Of course not. It just makes a stronger negative. The rule against the double negative does not come from math. It comes from Robert Loth, the Bishop of London. Robert Loth's book, A Short Introduction to English Grammar, first published in 1762, prohibited the double negative. Dr. Epstein says that random grammar rules were a way for the upper classes of London to protect themselves from a rising middle class.
And the upper classes became concerned that people below them were getting educated and getting access to sources of power. So to protect their own status and authority, people started to prescribe rules for grammar. And if you couldn't follow those rules, then you didn't have access to power and authority like the rich people of the day.
Here's another example. American children are taught that ain't is not a word. However, many Americans say ain't in place of is not or are not. Listen to this song by Bob Dylan.
Someone to open each and every door, but it ain't me, babe. No, 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 it ain't me, babe. It ain't me you're looking for, babe.
American school teachers told children to stop using the word ain't in the 1800s. But long ago, the word ain't was the proper negative contraction for I am not. Ironically, the British upper classes continued to use ain't after the Americans banned it. Dr. Epstein explains.
Knowing that regular folks used ain't, but the upper classes of the United States didn't, they created this sort of fake rule that you shouldn't use ain't because it didn't make sense. Of course, it makes perfect sense to anybody who says it, but now we have this rule.
So who makes the grammar rules? In America, the grammar patterns of rich white men are the basis of standard American English, Epstein says. Nobody will go to jail for ignoring grammar rules, but they will have difficulty getting into the best schools and finding good jobs. I'm Adam Brock.
And that's our program for today. Listen again tomorrow to learn English through stories from around the world. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson.